This is BI Radio.
You're 247 Crackberry Nation. I think that cold business is dead. Participate in the end of suffering. You've got to talk about it. You've got to give it away.
They share the vision. It's a never-ending story. It's hard work, but it's not the problem. We're learning because we're not afraid of doing things wrong.
The shame of the whole thing is good incentive.
That introduces some more concerns. What happens then?
So let's start with that.
Hi there, and welcome to BI Radio. I'm Ken Seeley. On the show today, love and other killer apps. Where to find love, how to give it, and why it can quicken the pulse of your performance management journey. Delaney Turner finds love in Sweden in the Office of Finance. Anastasia Valentine finds another reason for people to fall in love with their Blackberries. And first up, the business value of being a love cat. Kelsey Howarth talks to author Tim Sanders on the meaning of biz love and how to end suffering with a performance management solution.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Howard. Over the years, there's been no stronger advocate for good values in the business world than Tim Sanders. Tim is the author of the New York Times bestseller Love is a Killer App and The Likeability Factor. The basis of both books is drawn from his deep experience with cutting-edge businesses such as Dell, Intel, Broadcast.com, and more. Most recently, he served as a senior-level executive at Yahoo, serving as Yahoo's leadership coach and chief solutions officer, where he oversaw next-generation marketing programs for world-class brands. Here, he joins me to discuss love, likability, and how a little more compassion can create true competitive advantage. You're a bit of a renegade in the business world because you talk about the combination of business and love. Can you explain to us what biz love and a love cat is?
Biz love is a term that occurred to me several years ago to describe a business relationship where I am committed to your growth. And that's what I do in our relationship. I promote your growth intelligently in a win-win sort of way. So biz love could be mentoring an employee in a way that not only promotes that employee's personal growth, but increases the value of that employee to the company. Another example of biz love could be networking customers together that should meet and expecting nothing in return. Putting them together increases the size of their network and their capacity, so that promotes their growth. It also facilitates goodwill of customers or partners, which is good for the business. So it's a balancing act, I've learned. But it requires two simple components, promoting the growth of others and win-win for the company. Love cat is just a phrase I use to describe a business person that is so generous in his or her workaday, you scratch your head and you wonder how they get ahead. But what you find is that they're frequently described as lucky. A lot of great things seem to fall into their lap, and a lot of people are very generous to them. And it really is because they give. And the first time I thought about that phrase is when I met Herb Kelleher from Southwest Airlines, and I just thought he was this old cagey tiger, but what a good guy, right? I mean, what a loving, sweet, compassionate, hug an employee or a union boss guy, and I said, that guy is like the lyric in the Cure song, we move like cagey tigers, yet no two can get closer than this. And I thought that a love cat was something to certainly be respected.
One of the steps that you outline in order to become a love cat is not just acquiring knowledge, but sharing it widely. Can you explain why the transfer of knowledge from business books is so strategic in your method?
One of my favorite non-business books on the subject of compassion is the book Love by Leo Biscaglia. One of the things he says in describing one person who would fit my model of love cat is that he says, this guy wants to be the greatest so he can give it away. And it's a paradigm. And what I've learned is that the modern business books offer a really succinct and well-researched glimpse into the future by looking into the past. And the more you read them and the more that you take on an adult learning program on your own, the more you understand change. And as you pass that around, either inside or outside the company, what you do is you help other people deal with change and manage change. It's one of the greatest ways to add value in such a fast velocity economy. So that's why I say that one of the most effective things you can do every year is to read one book a month that deals with the change native to your industry, your business, or even your organization, and then share that with at least four people. Because in the book, I describe this idea that you've got to gather information, you've got to process it, you've got to talk about it, and you've got to give it away. And what you'll create in the long run, and when I say the long run, I mean a year or two tops, is you'll create what I call a virtuous circle of information that seems to come to you faster than you can give it away. And when I first started to practice this system a few years ago, I had my small network of friends, my searches on Amazon, my trips to Barnes & Noble's to create my intelligence about which business books were going to be value-added and which ones weren't. But as I began to be more generous with every person I came in contact with about the book that I'd been reading, and I became rather prescriptive to people about you should read this book, and et cetera, they started to reciprocate. So all of a sudden, as I gave away knowledge, I got tremendous real-world feedback about whether those books were valuable, and then I got fresh tips from other people. So now I am swimming in great information that far exceeds what I've given away over time. And that's really how that works, because people do reciprocate.
Now, the final step in becoming a love cat is showing compassion. But I wonder, are workplaces becoming colder? Has being professional become an enemy to compassion?
You know, I think we live in a new world, post-9/11, post-tsunami, greenhouse world of social justice, where people have been more aware of this than ever. I think that cold business is dead. I think that if anybody listening or hearing this interview, if you check your email at home, home is work. So you tell me, is home cold or hot?
Hot.
Because that's the problem, is that we don't work in a 1960s office environment where, you know, you put your jacket on at the end of the day, go home, play with your kids, and not think about it till the next day. You're 24/7 Crackberry Nation. So work is home and home is work. You have one life to live. So the real question is, are you going to let work make you cold at home? That's the real question. So what I've learned is the value of compassion is a simple idea that your mission in life and business that connects, that one connecting mission, is to participate in the end of suffering. So when I talk to companies like Cognos and I think about what you do for your customers, you eliminate various forms of suffering related to running a business. You eliminate uncertainty. You eliminate gaps of knowledge. You eliminate disconnection between data and wisdom. You eliminate a lot of the aches and pains that the average business person has to deal with, and that is a tremendous value proposition. Well, I think you have to take it down to an individual level. When I think about how I lead and manage people, my job is to participate in the end of their suffering, and we would participate in the end of the suffering of our client and solve their problems. Because believe it or not, most people devote most of all their waking energy to eliminating suffering in their life, in their business life, and in their business model. And if we minister to that directly and let everybody else try to, quote, add value, we're going to win every single time. And the example I always use to illustrate compassion is Steve Jobs' first pitch for the iPod. This goes more than a decade ago. He held up a very crude prototype of it, and I remember it was, I read this, he announced to a small group of engineers, "I hold in the palm of my hand the end of boredom." And what happened with the iPod through design and execution was he solved boredom in our lives, and we love the product for it. Pure and simple. That product solved a problem. It did not create an add value situation. So compassion is really a commitment to solve problems, not create them at a net level. And I think it's totally appropriate at business, and it creates a mission that can connect every single person in the business to the customer.
For more information from leading business authors like Tim Sanders, please visit the Cognos Performance Perspectives newsletter at cognos.com. For more insight from Tim, please visit his blog at timsanders.com. Finally, for more information on how you can get a great speaker like Tim at your next event, please visit the Sweeney Agency at thesweeneyagency.com.
What's your roadmap to higher performance? Cognos Performance 2007 is your GPS for navigating the road to performance management. Let us take you in a new direction with solutions for your high-performance enterprise. Discover how to evaluate and use Cognos solutions, meet with your peers, and speak to Cognos experts about how to leverage your Cognos investment. Proceed with confidence and register for Cognos Performance 2007 at cognos.com/performance2007. That's cognos.com/performance2007.
You're listening to BI Radio, brought to you by Cognos, the next level of performance. Check us out online at radiocognos.com.
I'm Delaney Turner, editor of Cognos Performance Perspectives, the Cognos e-newsletter. And today, I have a question. Is there a place for love in performance management? There is, according to Patrick Schinzel of Folksam Insurance. And here's my interview with him at Cognos Forum.
Patrick, thank you for joining us. I'd like to throw out a few big concepts that you spoke about in your presentation today, and you spoke about in the context of performance management. Passion, optimism, and love. Now, these aren't words that you hear normally in the context of a performance management conversation, particularly either in finance or in IT. These are strange, I would say strange words.
Yeah, love, it's because I think it's impossible to separate IT from business. If you start to get a new concept in the organization going where you speak about business and IT together all the time, then I think it's you avoid the organization building or spend a lot of time trying to define the borders between themselves. So I think that's important. About passion, you must be able to combine the information from operations and from financials, from finance, and to be able to do that, you must see how does it affect each other. How is the performance of operations linked to finance? How is finance linked to operations? And to be able to do that, you need competences from both sides to work together. I think it's very important if it should be a healthy relationship.
Are there specific organizational structures or corporate structures that work better than others to keep these two groups working together side by side?
I think it's difficult to get, because in most companies, in ours as well, you have an IT department, you have different kind of department, because when you're dealing with people, it's easier to put them in departments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then when you start to work, then you focus on processes instead, where you say, we are supposed to provide information to the management, top level management, to the board, and we are supposed to bring finance and operations together.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't talk about departments anymore because it's information.
Mm-hmm. One thing you've mentioned as well is I think it was early on, you said that it's important to have a driving force, a driving force in a performance management culture, mm-hmm. and to seek out the optimists in your organization to drive that. What is the role of optimism in a performance management culture?
I think if you bring people together that's optimist, that think we can manage to get finance and operation to work, not only work, to get metrics and other kind of important building stones in a performance management.
Mm-hmm.
They share the vision, and they want you to achieve that vision within the company. Then I think it's very important to gather those people together and try to leverage on their energy and enthusiasm to get one driving force that's are able to work hard, and because they are passionate and to work hard and work hard for a long term.
You've also mentioned that one phrase that I found interesting. You said no company is an island. I was wondering if you could explain that and how performance management lets folks, for example, manage in that sort of environment.
I think the business environment today and certainly going to be so in the future rely on different kind of partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
Partnerships between friends. I mean, you are insource, outsource thing, but it's also partnerships with competitors, like you share maybe producing something in the value chain together, but you are competitors in the marketplace, mm-hmm. then it's very important that you don't provide this competitor with too much information, mm-hmm. and so forth. And then there's a pressure. I mean, SOCs, you can go on forever. Mm-hmm. You, as a company, are supposed to provide a lot of information to financial authorities, to external accountants, and so forth. And to be able to do that, you must have a performance management system mm-hmm. that works. And if you have outsourced something, then you must be sure that you get the information and then are able to provide it, this information to the other mm-hmm. People interested or supposed to act upon that kind of information.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to talk now about some of the external values or the customer values for the culture of Folsom. We've talked a lot about how managing performance internally to get departments to work together with passion, with optimism. How do those benefits or those attributes manifest themselves on the customer side?
Like I said, we have scarce resources to work with, and mm-hmm. if we can have a performance management system that provides the organization with good information to base decision mm-hmm. on, then you make good decisions, and good decisions are closely connected to the customer. You use the resources to the best possible extent and have more resources to deal or to work with close to the customer.
Mm-hmm. Where you've also said you'd like to go from corporate performance management to another CPM, complete performance management.
That's right.
What does complete performance management look like, and how is it different from what you're doing currently?
I think you can have a corporate performance management in a company. You can manage to get data from different kind of sources, put them together, put information, being able to analyze mm-hmm. and all that. That's not a problem. It's hard work, but it's not a problem. The main thing about complete performance management is when you manage to link this together with the decision-making process, the planning process, the external demands and everything to a complete set of performance management.
And
the definition of that changes all the time.
Right. And final question, you've talked a lot about an organization that continuously learns. Performance management is a journey, and you're always mm-hmm. learning. What are you learning, and what sort of capabilities, or how does that? What capabilities do you rely on?
I think what we are learning is that it's a never-ending story. Mm-hmm. We are learning because we are not afraid of doing things wrong. I mean, we get the information we couldn't achieve before. Now we can connect that information with other kind of sources. We think this will be a good early warning. This will be a good indicator, and then we implement it in the performance management system. And then suddenly we recognize that this was not good. Mm-hmm. Then you must be flexible to change, and if you have an environment where people are optimists, they're not afraid of making mistakes because mm-hmm. we learn from mistakes, then I think you have a process going on by itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, Patrick Schindel, thanks a lot for taking the time to speak to us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are you a performance manager? Learn how to be one with The Performance Manager, the latest business book from Cognos, PMSI, and BI International. The Performance Manager explores the key challenges in core business functions, sales, marketing, finance, product development, and HR, and describes proven ways you can improve performance in each using sweet spots of information. Become a Performance Manager today. Order your free copy of the book online at www.cognos.com/pmbook. That's cognos.com/pmbook.
You're listening to BI Radio. Check us out online at radiocognos.com.
Welcome back to BI Radio. I'm Ken Seely. The subject of our next piece has been described as small, dark, and not much to look at. But any words that follow that description read like a romance novel. I'm talking about the BlackBerry, and we're going to learn about the next exciting chapter in high-tech's greatest love story.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anastasia Valentine, and I'm the product manager responsible for Cognos 8 Go Mobile. And with me today is...
Hi, I'm Mike Iles. I'm a dev lead with Cognos Go Mobile. Today, we're going to talk about mobile security.
Absolutely. And I think that now that we're venturing into the mobile world and making business intelligence available on mobile devices, there are a lot of other things to take into consideration with making data available outside the firewall on these standalone devices. What are some things that we should take into consideration now?
Well, this is a huge world, maybe to start. We're into the billions of mobile devices around the world. I was reading that there are three billion mobile devices in the world. 1 billion of them shipped last year. More and more, these are being used in enterprise.
So that's a lot of devices, and we know that enterprises today, and some of them are actually not only just arming their mobile workforce with mobile devices, but some of them are even opting to go mobile only. So replacing actual laptops with, let's say, BlackBerry devices or any other sort of mobile handheld device. So that introduces some more concerns from, I guess, maybe a theft and even loss perspective.
Absolutely. So let's start with that, because theft and loss are probably the biggest issues that that enterprise users are going to face, or anyone with a mobile device. Some of the statistics around lost devices and stolen devices are amazing. This was from a 2005 survey that a security firm PointSec did of taxis around the world. They found in a 6 month period, 6,000 pocket PCs, 5,000 laptops, 60,000 phones. This was in London alone. So
yeah, and I've got some really interesting stats on the West Coast of the U.S. So 12,000 devices were left behind in taxi cabs in a 6 month period. So that in itself is a cause for concern, not necessarily something to scare our end users, but just certainly to think about. These things can fall out of pockets. They can be left behind for places like airport security, where you're unpacking and packing up. And because they're small and they're portable, they can be easily stolen. So it's something just to be very conscious of in terms of maintaining the privacy and the security of your data.
Right now, Go Mobile is released just on BlackBerry, and so we'll talk about some of the features that BlackBerries offer for in the case of theft. The first one, of course, is password protection on the device itself. So after it hasn't been used for a period of time, the device will lock up and require the user's password. If it is stolen and reported back to the administrator, BlackBerry's offer a remote kill, a remote wipe command. That is something that the administrator can send out to a stolen device to not only erase the data on the device, but also to disable the device completely. So it's not even worth, it can't be reused by a thief, or resold.
Now that's a good point, Mike, because also if you don't enter your password, and I think by default you have 10 tries, which I think is more than generous, in my humble opinion, but after 10 tries, if you don't get that password right, then that device actually has to be reactivated by an administrator too, so it's not something that can be hacked open.
And in person, too.
And in person. You have to present yourself at the administrator and admit that you can't get into your device after 10 tries, and that in itself could be a little bit embarrassing.
Yeah, the shame of the whole thing is good incentive not to lose it.
What about in the case where a device gets stolen or lost, left behind in a cab or at airport security, for example, and someone is clever enough to disable the radio? What happens then? Because that data still resides on the device.
No, that's a great point. Some of the BlackBerry mechanisms come into play there. Of course, the device will time out after a period of time, and you'll have to re-enter your password. But if a thief is able to, you know, keep the device alive, maybe they keep it active so that the password lock isn't disabled. They're smart enough to turn the radio off so that the, as you say, the remote wipe command can't make it down to the device. Another level of security that Cognos Go Mobile adds is the idea of leases. And this is the same as a traditional lease, you know, on an apartment or something, where the server allows the device to use the data for a certain period of time without checking back in with the server. But beyond that period of time, if the device isn't able to come back to the server, then the data will be locked out and the user will be locked out.
So if the user can't be re-authenticated, they simply don't get access. So for example, like a hotel key, if I check in, I'm given a key for the duration of my stay, but as I check out, the room's still there, but I just simply can't get in.
Absolutely.
Cognos Mobile also provides the ability to generate custom encryption keys that can be used by an organization so that those keys are specific only to that organization. How would they deploy that, and in what cases would they deploy that kind of technology?
So the administrator is able to generate keys that are unique to that installation and then to embed those keys into the application that makes its way down to the mobile device. So in that way, the administrator can guarantee that there's a sort of a handshake of trust between the application running on the device and the server that it's talking to.
So by having that unique key, if anyone were to intercept that data over the air, they couldn't decrypt it because they don't have that key on the other side.
Exactly. It's over-the-air security, and it's also identity. It means that both sides can trust each other. The device knows that it's talking to the right server, and the server knows that it's talking to the right device. So very important.
Now, another thing that I don't think that a lot of mobile users are aware of is that just like on our PCs, there's malware and there's viruses for mobiles and that can be transmitted over the air to mobile devices. So what should people be conscious of in terms of malware and viruses? What kind are out there? How can they prevent it?
Well, there's actually surprisingly little malware and viruses for mobile devices, and it's because the devices exist in such a sort of a scary environment, you know, an environment where they're on all the time, they're available over wireless networks all the time. So the manufacturers, the device and the operating system manufacturers, are very aware of this, and you know, the network stacks are hardened, and the devices themselves require that applications that run on them be signed by the hardware or by the device manufacturers. So in our case, our Cognos Go Mobile application has been signed by Research in Motion. And so that provides a guarantee to users and to administrators that the application that makes its way onto people's BlackBerries is, in fact, the one that we want to get there, and it hasn't been manipulated in any way.
So it's some level of authenticity, for example.
Exactly.
Excellent. Well, Mike, we covered an awful lot today about mobile security and really the things that people need to take into consideration whether they're deploying a Cognos mobile application or any mobile application out there.
The last advice I think that I would give to people is to control the environment that data is getting used in, is basically to develop upfront a security policy that meets the needs of your organization. So on that note, I'd like to thank everyone for listening.
Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Need answers to your business questions when you're away from your desk? Easy. Go Mobile. Cognos 8 Go Mobile is Cognos Business Intelligence on your BlackBerry. Get the latest information about your customers, prospects, sales, and more. It's the timely, secure, and instant information you've been waiting for, delivered to the palm of your hand. See a demo at www.cognos.com/products. That's cognos.com/products.
Taking you to the next level of performance. This is Radio Cognos. Check us out online at radiocognos.com.
And that's a wrap for our look at love. I'd like to thank our guests today, author Tim Sanders, and from Folsom Insurance Group, Patrick Schinzel, and from Cognos, Anastasia Valentine, and Mike Isles. A special thanks as well to contributing producers Kelsey Howarth and Delaney Turner. I'd also like to thank John Blackmore for filling in for our last show. As always, Thanks to producer and audio engineer Derek Schrainer, who's composed all the original music you hear on BI Radio, and for making us sound so good. A reminder to check us out at RadioCognos.com, where you can listen to previous shows, download individual segments, and view the transcripts of each broadcast. If you have a question, or just care to comment about what you hear on BI Radio, send us an email at radio@cognos.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Ken Seeley. See you again in 6 weeks.